Devonshire, it is good to gather around God's word and just want to prepare our hearts for worship by reading Psalm 63, the first 8 verses. God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, desolate, and without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. My lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. So I will bless you as long as I live. At your name I will lift up my hands. You satisfy me as with rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I think of you, as I lie on my bed, I meditate on you during the night watches because you are my helper. I will rejoice in the shadow of your wings. I follow close to you. Your right hand holds on to me. I want that to be our encouragement, that we would find joy under the shadow of the wing of the Lord, under his protection, under his great strength, that we can look to Jesus, our Savior, as our comforter, as our cornerstone, as the one who is strong, the one who is generous and kind to us. So that is who we worship this morning. So with that, let's sing praises to our God.
Heavenly Father, hear our confession. We have sought the riches of this world instead of storing up treasures in heaven. We have placed our hope in people and things more than in the truths of your eternal word. We have cheated and hurt people to get what we want. Forgive us, O Lord. Please deliver us from oppression. Please deliver us from those who distort your word and cause division. Please deliver us from bitterness toward those who have hurt us to get what they want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hear the word of the Lord. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united in Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Hallelujah!
Church, I hope you've been encouraged already through our time together. I'm looking forward to sharing in a moment our message from 2 Timothy chapter 2 as we're working through that. I want to encourage us as we're journeying through these days of waiting. But I wanted to share just a few announcements. I want to thank you, those of you who were able to participate in the care ministry this past week and connect and with some of the folks in our congregation and bring encouragement through that ministry. Also, I want to thank those of you who were able to come out this past Friday and come through and purchase some cookies and just give in support of the ministry of the Free the Gospel Initiative there at Rhodes Grove Camp. What a blessing that has been. I want to encourage you, if you're here for the first time visiting with us, to type in devonshire.church/connect and let us know that you've come. You can do that by texting the keyword connect to the number that you'll see on the screen. And also, if you're a regular attender and member here at Devonshire, I want to ask you to also text the word check-in to the number on the screen, as that'll help us to know that you are here and help us to further engage with you also. In regards to a few announcements, you should have received an email that's made note of the fact that we're looking forward to, that we're pleased to announce that on June 14th, we're going to be holding two services here at the church. And we're looking forward to seeing those who are able to come. We know that not everyone will be able to come and not everyone will be ready to come, and that's okay. But for those who can, we'll be here. We're going to continue offering the online options for our church family to gather together in worship. But more details on how that will happen and how we'll do that will be coming up in this coming week or so. So look forward to that. I want to encourage you to continue to give of your tithes and offerings, and here in a moment we're going to take about a minute break, and you can text in those keywords and maybe give. I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving in those regards, but I hope you're having a great week, and I'll look forward to seeing you in just a little bit. Well, over the past few weeks, we've been journeying through our series entitled The Waiting Room. We're in this season of waiting, and we've been talking about the different ways that God uses times or seasons of waiting in our lives for the good. Last week, we made a turn towards talking about what it looks like to journey through seasons of waiting by looking at the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy. Paul's in the midst of waiting for the time whenever he is expecting to die, and he's writing a letter of an encouragement to his dear brother who had an important work to do for the sake of the gospel. This past week I was on a phone call, talk about waiting, I was on a phone call and I was put on hold And next thing I know is that there is this music that is blasting in my ears. And I can't say that it was very good quality. Not that the music was bad, but it was just, it hurt my ears. It was all garbled up. It didn't sound good. I had to put the phone down and I put it on speaker. And if I could have muted it, I would have. It made the wait seem all the longer and frustrating, if you know what I mean. And I know that waiting sometimes can feel like that. You just get tired of it. You're waiting for the next thing to come and what you're looking forward to. And sometimes it's really hard and it's challenging and it can even get frustrating. It can seem like that at times. And in this passage that we're going to look at today, I want us to find encouragement for whenever we're in the waiting room. And for all of us, I want us to stay focused on our calling during these days when it's easy to lose sight of it. Last week, the first encouragement that we started with as we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 2 in those first two verses was that the encouragement is this, that keep being strengthened in the grace of Jesus. Grace is where it is found. The song that we sang last week, Through It All by the Grace of God, that last lyric there sums it up. How are we going to continue on? How do we keep on going? Through it all, it's by the grace of God. It's all over everything else that he is about to say is where Paul starts. He's talking about being strengthened in the grace of God. And so he goes on to tell him there in verse 2 about how important the work is that he has to do. And this is why we need to be strengthened in the gospel. Paul knows that he's about to die, and Timothy is a link in the chain of passing on the gospel. There's a lot riding on his faithfulness and perseverance for the gospel. In church today, it's no different for us. As a church right now, here in this time in history, journeying through this pandemic, there is a lot riding on us and how we're going to respond right now in loving each other in our community with the gospel. The gospel being proclaimed in our community, it depends on you. And the manner in which we carry ourselves has an impact on how the good news may be heard. And so grandparents, parents, you know this. The good news of Jesus Christ being shared with your children is a responsibility that you have. In these days, what a blessing it has been to be able to have more time together as a family. And with that increased time is all the more time to continue to model and to share the good news of Jesus with our children. We have the opportunity to shepherd and care for them so that they might have a faith that will carry them through the storms that they're facing now and that they're going to face in the days to come. In our workplaces, maybe we've been limited in our contact with our coworkers. And maybe you haven't, maybe more than ever you've had the opportunity to connect with them. I want you to know that you have a responsibility to share the good news. Teens, with your friends, as you connect with each other over social media, and however that is that you are doing it these days, you have a responsibility to tell others about the hope in Jesus. Here's what Paul said in a different place. He said in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, he said, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Here's the deal. Wherever you are, God has put you there to be his witness. You have an opportunity wherever you work, go to school, where you spend your playtime as you go throughout this summer. Maybe it's in a home caring for children. Don't forget the importance of what you're doing. God has put you there for a purpose right now at this time in history, and that purpose is to help others, those that he has given you in your sphere of influence, to help them find and follow Jesus and to wrestle through whatever it is that they're going through, as they wrestle through whatever it is that they are going through in this life at this time. And if we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? And who's going to tell those who come after you? And so Paul, he continues on in his encouragement, and this is where we want to land for this morning. This is what he says. If you have your Bibles, let's turn there. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Here is what Paul writes to his dear friend, son in the faith, Timothy. He says this, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this time that we have together in this way. We thank you for the encouragement, Lord, that we can know that we can find strength in you. And that you, your grace is enough. And so today, Lord, I ask that you would speak to us as we look at this passage, and you would help us to hear and understand, Lord, what it is that you're calling us to do in these days. In your name we pray. Amen. So Paul encourages Timothy here through the metaphor of a soldier. And this morning, I want to take some time to consider Paul's encouragement to Timothy towards being a good soldier for Christ. When Paul uses this analogy, he's reminding Timothy of something that's really important for us to understand and for Timothy at that time to really be reminded of. And he's reminding Timothy that he is in the midst of a very real war. And maybe for some of us, we need to be awakened to that reality again. What he has been called to is not just some comfortable and easy calling, but rather it is one, the calling that he has is one that requires great sacrifice and suffering. Maybe you were reminded of the sacrifice of the many men and women who lost their lives in service to their country as we took time last weekend as a special time to remember the lives of those who have sacrificed for the sake of our country's freedoms, the ones that we enjoy. There is a great cost. And Paul here, he's using this metaphor. He writes to Timothy about fighting the good fight. In the previous letter that he writes, 1 Timothy 1:18, he says this, charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. In Philemon chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he says this, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. He refers to Epaphroditus as a fellow soldier. In Ephesians 6, he's taking time to remind the church in Ephesus that they must ready themselves for battle. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and so put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Church, we've got to remember that we are in a war. And so what does it look like to be a good soldier? And that's what I want us to be encouraged in these few verses, these two verses this morning as we look to them. The first thing that Paul says is share in the suffering. Share in the suffering. Endure hardship. Church, I want you to know that there is nothing more wonderful, there is nothing more soul-satisfying than knowing Jesus Christ. But at the same time, you have to know this, that if you don't know it already, that the Christian faith is that which requires everything of us. It requires suffering. It requires great sacrifice at times. And the idea that when you follow Christ, all hardship and trials and anxiety are gone is false. You know that. Probably in these days, you have felt all of those kind of things to one extent or another. Do you remember what Jesus said? He never made it sound like anything. It was going to be anything less than this. His whole message was repent, meaning turning a total life turnaround of living for self to living for God. And placing one's faith in the grace and mercy of Jesus demonstrated on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Being a Christian, it's not just saying you believe something. It affects everything about your life. It's not just putting on a soldier's uniform and then continuing on your merry way. It's not like hopping on a bus to boot camp and getting there and deciding you want to go out on the night with your friends. It doesn't work like that. Or you decide, oh, I just want to wake up whenever I want to wake up the next morning. No, when you sign up, you signed up and your life changes and you're taking orders from someone else. The gospel, meaning the good news that even though we are sinners deserving of hell, that there is forgiveness and redemption to be had by those who place their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That gospel only goes forward through significant cost and suffering in our lives at times. And this is what Christian discipleship is all about. So a good soldier for Christ is one who is faithful, one who endures hardship. But not only do we want to be faithful, but a good soldier is one who fights, right? As Paul is writing to Timothy and he's using this metaphor of being a good soldier, he's not talking about a type of soldier that is just sitting around, not on the job. He's saying this is a war, and be a good soldier who is active, one who is engaged in the battle. I heard one pastor say it this way, as he pointed out that in this battle, there is only the front line. And either you are engaging in the battle, or you are laying down on the job and you're getting shot at, and it is a dangerous place to be. If there is a time for rest, it is to prepare and ready oneself for the mission again. So church, I don't know, maybe in a sense, that could be one way to look at this season where there's been this pause, this season of waiting, and if that's the case for you, and it's not been the case for everybody, but maybe if that's been the case for you, maybe it's been that season for you to ready yourself for battle and for the mission again. But what else does Paul say here about being a good soldier? Paul says a good soldier who has given his life for the sake of the mission not only is actively engaged in fighting the war and faithfully enduring hardship, but he's focused. He has a single-minded devotion. The frivolous and trivial things, they don't matter. Paul's saying to Timothy, don't get tripped up and lose your focus on what really matters here. What really matters is pleasing Jesus, right? When you're in battle, you are focused on the mission. He's saying, Timothy, there's a lot of stuff out there that can get your attention. There's a lot of things that can pull you this way or that way. They may not even be bad things. They might be fine things, good things, but don't get tripped up. And don't lose sight of what Jesus has called you to do. He's our leader. Hebrews 2:10 says this, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into salvation. Jesus is our leader, and so we've got to hold loosely to the things of this world. It can be so easy to lose sight of this whenever things are hard. But be careful. The things of this world can be so tempting, can't they? Remember, it is a spiritual battle, and the enemy, Satan, is doing all that he can to distract us from what we have been called to do. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in his parable of the four soils. In Luke 8:14, he says this, and as for what fell among the thorns, there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Church, let's not get distracted. Let's be careful. Maybe it's because we live in a culture where we don't face the kind of persecution that many in our world do for their faith. But boy, I know in my own life, it's so easy to get comfortable if I'm not careful. There are so many distractions all around us, aren't there? And whether it's through the convenience of entertainment at every turn, our own natural desires for comfort, recognition, popularity, for being included, I don't know, the list can go on and on. It is easy to get tripped up. And so that's what it looks like. As we just look at those few things there, that's what it looks like to be a good soldier for the sake of the gospel by the grace of Jesus. And Paul's continuing to encourage Timothy, and he's encouraging us to be good soldiers who faithfully endure and suffer for the sake of the gospel, that we would actively engage in the fight and that we would stay focused on the mission. There are so many things out there that can trip us up and get us distracted. But the last line of verse 4 captures the most important thing that makes all of the difference in the kind of soldier that we're going to be, doesn't it? He says this, a good soldier's aim is to please the one who enlisted him. What's the point? The point is this, who are we aiming to please? Who are you aiming to please? The most important thing in our lives is to please Jesus. Is our greatest desire our own comforts, our own wants, our own ideas? Or is our greatest desire to please Jesus and to be faithful to the calling that he has given us? I've never been in the military, but I've lived long enough to experience life a little bit, and I believe I have a pretty good idea of how things operate. I know that when I made a basketball team or any other team in throughout the years, and maybe it's just my personality, but I knew that if the coach said he wanted me, he wanted something done a certain way, then I better do it. If I knew it was good for me, if I wanted to play. My goal was I wanted to please that coach. My aim was to please him. And even if I thought I had a better idea, if he said, I want you to go, and I want you to go shoot a bunch of foul shots, I want you to go do layups, I want to see you hustle on the court, I want to see you train hard and run hard. If he said do it, then I did it. And why did I do all of those things? I did them because I wanted to please him. Because I wanted to please him, I was willing to put up with a lot of things that were being asked of me. It's that simple. Who or what our hearts are devoted to or aiming to please, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? And what kind of soldiers we're going to be. And some of us here this morning, we need to consider who it is that we're trying to please. Some of us have been trying to please our parents our whole lives. It's the most important thing, and you feel like you've never lived up to their expectations. Some of us have set up high expectations for ourselves that we can't measure up to in our own eyes, and we never will. Or maybe you're more concerned about what your friends, your peers, your coworkers, or whoever else, and what they're thinking about you. Here's the point. Who are you trying to please? Yourself? Or more importantly, are you striving to please the Lord? The only thing that ever that matters in every moment of our lives is what Jesus thinks at the end of the day. At the end of the day, at the end of our lives, the only thing that matters in every moment of our lives is what does Jesus think? And so may he be the one that you aim to please. How do we please him? Well, here we are. We want to be good soldiers. We suffer. We're good soldiers, and we don't get entangled or distracted by anything that will take us away from the work that he's called us to do. It's all about Jesus. But let's talk about Jesus. How is he our example? How is it, and how is he a great one for us to follow as our leader? Well, here's the deal. There's no one more faithful. There is no one more gracious, understanding, more deserving of our lives than him. A song that I'd sing over and over as a kid was this song written by Stephen Curtis Chapman. And here's just a few of the lyrics. It says this: when you are a soldier, I will be your shield. And I will go with you into the battlefield. And when the arrows start to fly, take my hand and hold on tight. I will be your shield because I know how it feels when you are a soldier. And when you're tired from running, I will cheer you on. Look beside you and you'll see you're not alone. And when your strength is all but gone, I'll carry you until you're strong. And I will be your shield because I know how it feels when you're a soldier. And I will be the one you can cry your songs to. My eyes will share your tears. And I will be your friend if you win or if you're defeated. Whenever you need me, I'll be there. When you're lost in darkness, I will hold the light, and I will help you find your way through the night. I'll remind you of the truth and keep the flame alive in you, and I will be your shield because I know how it feels when you are a soldier. This deal, those lyrics are like the words of Jesus to us as we're on the field. He says this, our Savior knows. He's saying, I know. He understands the suffering. He understands the hardship. He understands the pain. He understands the ridicule. He understands the battle. He knows because he suffered. He fought the fight. He persevered. He stayed focused the whole way to the cross. where the wrath of God was satisfied. And now what is he doing? But he's living and he's giving us grace. And he's giving us the strength needed for the battle that we're facing every day. Remember, through it all, by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Church, as we started today, we're reminded, aren't we, that our lives are here but for a moment. And the day's going to come whenever we're going to be here no more. And so, from this point on, may we commence and live our lives from this day forward, having settled this question: who or what have you set your heart's devotion on? Who are you aiming to please? Who or what do you set your heart's aim on to please with the will shape the rest of your life and determine whose soldier you're going to be? And so my prayer and my desire for you, you know what it is that you're journeying through. You, and maybe you don't even know, because right now times are so uncertain. But as you journey through the coming days and whatever they may bring, may it be Jesus. Let it be Jesus who is the one that you're aiming to please. And may you suffer well, may you fight well, and may you have a single-minded devotion to please him as you are strengthened by the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. This morning, I don't know where you're at in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're new to this. Maybe you have not been close in your relationship with him for some time. Maybe you've never even started a relationship with him. And maybe now is the time for you to come back, and he's calling you, and he is inviting you, and he is welcoming you to come and to surrender your life to him and to find the greatest of joys and satisfaction in having a relationship with him. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to come. His arms are wide open, and he loves you and he cares for you. And so as we close today, I want to invite you to come and to start that relationship with him and surrender your life to him if you have not yet done so, just by coming to him in a prayer of devotion and surrender. Maybe something like this, if we all just bow our heads and just pray this from your heart. Just saying, Lord, Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I am in need of forgiveness. And so here I am. I'm coming to you and I'm asking for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he died for my sins, that he's risen from the dead. And so I'm turning from my sins and I want to follow after you. So would you come? Here I am. I'm surrendering my heart and my life to you. I want to trust and follow after you as my Lord, my Savior, my King, my leader in every way. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a people who are aiming to please you, that we're staying focused, that we're willing to endure hardship. Lord, and that we would stay focused on the mission that you have called us to. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hi from Indonesia. You are all in our prayers during this time of global crisis. Here's a quick update about our lives here.
Generally speaking, we're doing really well. Our kids are all healthy, we're all together, and we're really, really thankful for that. We're keeping busy with just finishing up school, also with connecting with friends and family online. I've been teaching a few classes, writing and art, and Josh has been spending more time at the farm because all of our time in villages and also our business has just stopped.
COVID-19 has greatly affected the people of Indonesia. Much like other nations, many have lost their jobs and are suffering financially. Even local farmers in our area have felt the strain as they find it difficult to get their produce to market, and the prices have sunk to record lows. Please pray for the people of Indonesia during this difficult time.
Let's pray. God, I just want to lift up Indonesia and also all of the world during this really difficult time. We believe you're doing something. Nothing is for naught. It's all for our good. And so I pray you just keep our ears and hearts attuned to what you're doing, and help us to be obedient. Thanks, God. I pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Well, church, I hope you've been encouraged by our time together. And so as you go, here's our benediction as you go out this week. Now go out into the world in peace and have courage. Hold on to what is good. Honor all people. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. And help the suffering and share the gospel. Love and serve the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We love you. Have a great week.